Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Shironi, joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. And we're here to recap the madness for you. Lots of fun today, particularly on what we just saw moments before we started the show. Peyton was a dud until the last 30 seconds, and we get overtime, and then we get a touchdown by Russell Wilson, and Erin Shironi's happy.
Seahawks fans and Marshawn Lynch owners happy as well.
That's right. All right, so let's start off with the week three leaders. Obviously, just mentioned Peyton there. I'm not sure if he's in our graphic yet, but we've got a graphic up here. Some recognizable names. Andrew Luck, obviously. Kirk Cousins, who may have been the best thing to happen to the Redskins since RG3. Nick Foles, Austin Davis, Alex Smith, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. Let's talk about a couple of these guys here.
Well, let's start with Kirk Cousins, because I think that's who we're going to get asked about the most. Was his performance because of the Philadelphia defense, or was it because Kirk Cousins is really that good? I think he's a good quarterback. He seems to be an excellent fit for what Jay Gruden wants out of his offense. And if you wanted to see a vote of confidence, look at the pass attempts. 48 pass attempts, if I recall correctly. That's a lot of work for Kirk Cousins, and I think you'll continue to see him get a lot of work. That Washington defense isn't going to get any better. They lost D'Angelo Hall. He's done for the season. They're going to pass a lot. So Kirk Cousins, I think, certainly steps up as someone who should be able to be at least a decent fantasy starter going forward.
It's going to be interesting to see that Thursday night game, because we saw Rashad Jennings get a lot of work. He was on that list as well. And can he come back on a short week? We talk about the defenses all the time, Dave. Mm-hmm. They gave Rashad Jennings nearly 30 carries in this game.
Over 30 carries
in this game. So can he come back on a short week and do what running backs typically do on Thursday night, not named Bobby Rainey? So if Rashad Jennings is obviously going to be in your lineup because he's been off to a fantastic start, and as Dave mentioned, this Redskins defense not very good, don't look at LeSean McCoy's stats as the indicator of what Washington's going to do. But, yes, it's going to be fun to see, because Eli Manning coming off a good game as well, to see how these two teams match up.
Yeah, it could be a lucky break for the Giants. And as for Kirk Cousins, blessing in disguise sometimes. I mean, you never want to see anyone get hurt, but RG3 being out, I don't know, it looks pretty good for them.
Jay Gruden already said this is our starter for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
So he's going to be there for a while, and if he plays well, there's no way they're turning back to RG3.
Now, we mentioned injuries, obviously, so let's get on to injuries. Obviously, we've seen a lot of injuries to key guys last week especially, and things continue this week. Dennis Pitta, some of us might have him. Obviously, T.Y. Hilton, Matt Cassell, Rod Streeter. Who jumps out of you here? Who's, you know?
Well, Woodhead and Pitta might be done for the season. Woodhead has got an ankle injury. We'll find out tomorrow.
Fractured fibula.
So he's going to be out for the foreseeable future, which leads to, with Ryan Matthews being out, the Donald Brown show. And Pitta, obviously, anybody who's listened to our podcast or watched any of our shows or read anything I've written, I was expecting a big season from him. He had a great week one. The Owen Daniels show was in week two, and now we have the injury to Pitta in week three, which now makes Owen Daniels one of the most sought-after tight ends for fantasy owners going into week four. So if he's on your waiver wire, you go pick him up. Not the greatest matchup next week against Carolina, but he's going to be in the Gary Kubiak offense, and we've seen Daniels do well in that system before.
We also saw Matt Cassel have a gross foot injury. I don't think he's going to come back anytime soon. It opens the door for Teddy Bridgewater, and we'll talk about the rookie quarterbacks. There's more than one that stepped up in week three. Bridgewater played okay. He's got a matchup at home against Atlanta. I don't think the Vikings are going to win that game, but they should be able to throw quite a bit. Bridgewater did a nice job taking care of the football. No turnovers against New Orleans. I think he's an okay bye week replacement if you're a little desperate in week four. Remember, there's a lot of quarterbacks on bye.
I'm not holding it against you that I took Pitta, Jamie. Don't worry. Although I'm sure some people will out there.
Our audience would never do that.
Yeah.
No,
never.
I try and cut you some slack.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Who are we targeting? We touched on that a little bit just there. Hot on waivers for week four. Let's take a look at the list. Kirk Cousins, we mentioned him already, obviously, although he's owned in 73% of the league, so he's not likely to be available to all that many people.
Sure.
Who else looks like a good pick to you here?
Well, based on this list, this is obviously, you know, we're going to scroll through it based on percentage, but, you know, I think you got to look at Bishop Sankey in the game that he had. A lot of people were getting off the, you know, the Bishop Sankey bandwagon because of the way that Sean Green has gotten the carries and Dexter McCluster, but they gave Sankey an extended look in this game against Cincinnati, and he responded well, so hopefully this is a sign of things to come, although it was Sean Green scoring a touchdown.
There is only one name, and it's not on this list. It might be on the next list, and that's Lorenzo Taliaferro.
Not even on the next one, buddy.
He is.
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, I was scrolling down. I thought he – never mind. Forget what
Dave just wanted to say that name with the
– Taliaferro. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. It might be Taliaferro. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it. this guy looks like he's the future of the Ravens' run game. We don't know how serious the injury is to Bernard Pierce. We'll have to wait and see, but this should be a guy that you can target off waivers this week in every single league.
Although I think it'll lead to a disappointing performance because it'll be Carolina in their building.
Mm. In week four.
Yep. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be he's not Nile Davis.
Sure, no, absolutely.
But he's somebody, you know, we're always looking for running backs who might have some potential, and there will be some games down the road. Yeah, next week is a Justin Forsythe
game. Right. You got to look also, two rookie receivers, John Brown and Jordan Matthews, both scored two touchdowns in their respective games. Brown you don't have next week, but Jordan Matthews, they've been talking about increasing his role, and this is something I think that you can look at. And then as I talked about before, Owen Daniels now, we know the two touchdowns 2 weeks ago didn't do anything in this game today against the Browns, but going forward, if he's going to be a starter for that Gary Kubiak offense, you don't have to worry about somebody stealing touchdowns from him. So right. I think Daniels is somebody that you look at the tight end position.
All right.
Kyle Rudolph also got hurt in that game today, too, for the Vikings.
Okay. Lots of injuries. We will be back with more, guys.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Ciarone, joined by Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. And we are here to recap the games for these guys. All right. So lots to talk about. Let's start with Cowboys-Rams, 34-31 Cowboys. 19 points for Tony Romo today, which makes some fantasy owners happy. Although, should we be wary? I mean, can we breathe a sigh of relief or no?
I think so, just because we know it's going to come. You know, it's not like he's always going to be in this lower echelon of fantasy quarterbacks. And I think this is a good sign that it was a comeback effort for him. It was a comeback effort for the team. They know they weren't going to be able to run the ball in the second half, even though DeMarco Murray had a good game. Right. But he had to put the ball in the air a little bit. And he comes through with a good number. Still not the Tony Romo that we were hoping to see, but still good enough to get you where you needed to be from a fantasy perspective.
He acquitted himself.
Yep.
Right? Because this would have been a nightmare game. They were down 21-0. Romo could have, you know, gone into the fetal position and cried.
They're throwing two more interceptions after the pick six.
Exactly. Right. It could have been really, really bad. And then everyone would know, okay, we got to stay away from Tony Romo. At least now, I'd like to think this is a good thing, but maybe it's a bad thing. Because now there could be some confusion that, well, he did okay. Do I still start him next week?
Oh, you absolutely start him next week.
I think you have to start him next week against New Orleans.
Yep.
I think he's going to have to throw in that game. So he's passed the test for now. But there's another test next week. He is far from being a rock-solid starter in fantasy.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Position could still come.
Right. You had a lot of people asking Kirk Cousins. We had three questions this morning, Kirk Cousins or Tony Romo. And we all said Romo was the safer of the two. And clearly that didn't work out. Because Kirk Cousins had the best boom or bust potential, and he went boom. And so you hope that next week you have to make that decision again. People are probably going to go the Kirk Cousins route, which is understandable. But, you know, I think it's good that Dez Bryant has the big touchdown. Terrence Williams has a touchdown. So you're seeing the two receivers play well. Jason Witten clearly right now, though, is a disappointment. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if that turns around. And then from the Rams' perspective, I think it was great to see Brian Quick finally score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Catches came down.
Catches came way down, targets came way down, but he had that big catch. And maybe the Cowboys made a decision to take him away a little bit.
With who?
That's a good point. Well, they could have put two guys on him and then opened up the field for other players. But, you know, Austin Davis with over 325 yards passing, three touchdowns, two picks in the game. And, you know, he's not that great of a quarterback. And I'm not saying you should get him in fantasy. Two quarterback leagues, that's a different story. But he made it work against Dallas. And he's not necessarily a guy that I want on my fantasy team. But he's living, walking proof that this Cowboys defense just is not that good.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I'm sorry, Aaron. You see the two tight ends play well for the Rams, Lance Kendricks and Jared Cook. That's the Cowboys defense in a nutshell. And they get Jimmy Graham next week. That should be a big game for Jimmy Graham.
And Zach Stacy had over 100 total yards.
All right, moving on. Chargers, Bills. Chargers beat them 22-10. Is Phillip Rivers on a roll? I mean, he only threw 25 passes, but he scored 23 fantasy points more than Romo, that we just mentioned. Donald Brown at 31 carries. What are we making of the San Diego offense?
Well, I think you got to be encouraged. You know, the fact that this was a West Coast, East Coast trip, 1 o'clock start, they coming off of a huge win last week against Seattle, and they come out and they play well. And I think Rivers is proving, you know, you were had him as a top 12 quarterback this year. Good job by you, because it's probably going to continue with the schedule and the lack of the running backs. You know, Donald Brown, I think, will be very good for the next stretch because of all the work he's going to get with no Matthews, no Woodhead. But this running game is not going to be the thing that carries this team.
31 carries for Donald Brown. They really needed him, and they're going to have to start getting this rookie Brandon Oliver in the mix too, just in case Donald Brown gets hurt along the way. But Brown's a serviceable running back. You're right. Phillip Rivers is going to be the guy that takes charge of the Chargers next week. They're home against Jacksonville. Should be a game where they do pretty much whatever they want. That Jacksonville defense is atrocious right now.
Yep, and we're going to get a lot of questions about Keenan Allen because this is now three bad games, two of which were against tough opponents. One was against, you know, what should be a questionable defense to a certain degree because number one receivers had done well against the Bills prior to this. But I still think Keenan Allen's going to have some great games coming forward, next week being probably the breakout game that a lot of people were looking for.
You guys are going to get questions about that? What,
never.
Really? People hold you accountable for
right.
What they do with their roster? I've never heard such a thing.
You know, the problem is that he only had two targets in the game. He had 15 targets.
That could be Gilmore.
Could be a little bit of Gilmore. He got shaken up in the game a little bit, too.
But it was also Malcolm Floyd and Eddie Royal. Royal scoring the touchdowns, Floyd making the big plays down the field.
All right, speaking of shaken up, the Bengals shook up the Titans, more or less, 33-7. There was some discussion in the green room earlier when we were all watching the games about Andy Dalton being nothing without A.J. Green, and I'll credit Adam Azer with saying that. There was some debate over that. Obviously, they whooped the Titans, but Dalton had an interception. From a fantasy perspective, didn't have the best game.
Nope.
What do you guys make of that?
Well, I mean, I think this is kind of what Andy Dalton is. He's becoming more game manager, less big play type guy. And, you know, you take away Marvin Jones, there's just another secondary option for him. In last week's game, he didn't have A.J. Green. Mm-hmm. So this was a game we expected them to run with a lot of success. They did. Not necessarily the yards over the course of the game. You know, yards per carry were kind of minimal for the two main guys in terms of Bernard and Hill. But this was a game they relied on their running backs.
I wonder if you'll start to see Dalton on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. He's on bye next week, doesn't have a game. So fantasy owners are going to cut him if they need the roster spot for week four, or if he was, for whatever reason, their starter and they want to go in a different direction, they're going to cut him and pick up another quarterback off of waivers.
Real quick, speaking of waivers, Bishop Sankey is 66% owned. Is the Sankey era about to begin in Tennessee?
Well, I think so, just because, you know, Sean Green is a plotter, and, you know, they need to get some life into their running game. And so what better way to do it than the young guy that they drafted with the hope that he can do something, and today he did something, you know, against a very good defense.
Fair enough.
I didn't get a chance to watch the game fully, so I don't know how he did his running. You know, was it middle, late to game, you know?
I think he had a lot late, but he had a run. His longest run was 18 yards, so it wasn't like he had one big gain and then everything else was just kind of crummy. He was good. He was consistent along the way.
Look,
he's averaging 4.9 yards per carry. Green's at 4.8. So they're doing something right.
There you go.
But Sankey's the one who's doing a little better.
Green's
starting to go.
Well, he had five carries for 40 yards last week, so that yards per carry probably would have caught
up. It's just a matter of waiting for Ken Wisenhunt to come around and say, okay, Bishop Sankey's good enough to pass protect. He's certainly good enough to run with the football. We're going to give him more work. It's going to come soon.
Next week's an interesting week for the Titans because they get the Colts. And we got to see, you know, how these skill players will start to step up because right now they're struggling.
All right, lots more to come. We got to head to commercial break, guys, but don't go away. We'll be right back with lots more good stuff for you.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Schroney, joined by Jamie Eisberg and Dave Richard, and we are recapping the games for you. So we shall continue with Ravens-Browns. Ravens pulling that one out at the very last second, much to some people's dismay, 23-21. The question is, what should Torrey Smith owners do?
I think you got to sit tight. You know, I saw him on waivers. Somebody gave up on him for James Jones in one of my leagues. And I picked him up. I'll stash him and just see what happens because eventually he's going to have some big games. I mean, that's just who he is. Mm-hmm. And now no Pitta. So you have to assume that it's not all going to go to Owen Daniels. So I think there's going to be some market correction with him. But it's just disappointing right now.
How about eight targets? Isn't that a little bit of a promising
He came in thought? With 10.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. And he led the team today with eight targets. They tried to get him the ball, and I think he hit the nail on the head. The fact that there's no Dennis Pitta there, and really, Joe Flacco has developed this chemistry with Steve Smith, and that's not going away. But the fact that Pitta's gone, Torrey Smith is a reliable target, maybe they work on some more intermediate routes with him, maybe he can start to develop a little bit. I like that you picked him up off waivers. That was a smart move.
This is an offense that's in flux because they were expecting Ray Rice to come back. We know that's not happening now. Bernard Pierce has now missed a game. Talaferro's coming along now. They'll see if they're going to work him in a little bit more. Now they lose Pitta. So Joe Flacco's got new receiver in Steve Smith, new tight end in Owen Daniels, whole new backfield right now with Forsett and Talaferro and even Bernard Pierce to a certain extent. So this is a team that's changing and new coordinator as well. So we'll see how it all works together. And if Torrey Smith, the one constant from the last couple of years, if he benefits from that.
One thing about Talaferro, he did have one of those big runs, a 31-yard run. You take that run away, he averaged less than 4 yards per carry.
Next week's going to be tough.
I think it's going to be tough, too. But I like the idea of stashing him.
Absolutely.
I just wouldn't get super excited about him.
Yep. And then, you know, you look at Cleveland, you want to talk about a backfield that's going to be a little bit of a mess. So they are bye next week, and Ben Tate said he's going to come back for week five. So you have Ben Tate now. Crowell scores the touchdown this week.
Right. Well,
Terrence West scores the touchdown this week. It's going to get tough to figure out which is the one you want going forward, because do they insert, you know, did Tate get Wally Pipped? Or did he come back and
I'm worried that they're going to have some sort of three-headed monster. So if I've got Terrence West on my team, Aaron, I'm sure you'd agree that if I had Terrence West on my team and his future is unknown, if I could trade him this week right before his bye to a team that's desperate for just anything at running back, I would do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
It's a good trade. All right, Lions 19, Packers 7. Do we buy low?
What a disappointing
game. That's Jamie's analysis. Do we buy low on Eddie Lacy? Are you concerned about it?
Yes, you buy low on Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
If anybody's
no
giving him up, then you
no
take him.
No one's going to do that.
Yeah.
They might, based on I'm sure your tweets are the same as mine.
Yeah.
I think people are just complaining about Eddie Lacy. I think people understand what type of potential he has. Now, there's some risk now, too. He already had one concussion, and he's always been a guy that's been a little injury prone. So maybe here I am making the case to trade away Eddie Lacy after all. It's not – here's the problem. You can't buy low on him. Like, I can't give you Torrey Smith and Terrence West for Eddie Lacy. No one's going to do that.
No, but...
And the guy that's got Eddie Lacy is going to expect a lot in return because he took him with a first.
But let's just say we're heading into the buys now, and you were the smart owner who picked up Kirk Cousins, and you're looking at somebody who doesn't have a backup quarterback or doesn't have any quarterback to speak of.
All right, so now I'm going to trade you Kirk Cousins?
Cousins and...
What?
Talaferro. For Eddie Lacy.
No one's
your
doing
new favorite.
But I'm just saying, there may be the frustrated Eddie Lacy owner that sees shiny new toy and says, or Ahmad Bradshaw, better case, Ahmad Bradshaw. Now we're getting up a little bit.
It's better than Talon.
We're having a conversation now, okay? So now I'm giving you Bradshaw and Kirk Cousins.
I don't know.
Maybe it's not Cousins. Maybe it's not Cousins. Maybe it's, I don't know.
Philip Rivers?
Nick Foles.
Ooh.
And Ahmad Bradshaw.
You know the way to my heart.
That's right. Well, I went to guys that...
hope that the person who has Eddie Lacy has no idea what they're doing.
Look, the Packers are going to get better. Next week they get the Bears. The Bears are going to be on a short week coming off a Monday night game. Who knows how beat up they're going to be against the Jets. Eddie Lacy's going to come back and have a monster game. It's not going to be like Trent Richardson from a year ago where a sophomore struggles. He's going to get the work. He's still too good. And the Packers will rebound. And the Lions will rebound. They get the Jets also on a short week.
Sure.
The troubling thing for the...
should be a little bit.
Right. Well, the one thing that's a concern is they're going to be outdoors, and we've seen them struggle so far in one game outdoors. I'm not worried about these two teams. I think they're going to come back and play much better than what was supposed to be the Adam Azer bonanza today.
Oh, he really did jinx it. By the way, Eddie Lacy on the season, 36 carries. That's not a lot for him. So I think there is reason. You can at least go and try and make an offer for Eddie Lacy in your fantasy league.
Yeah, it's only
you can do the same thing with Calvin Johnson. He hasn't had a big game 2 weeks in a row. But I don't think anybody's going to do that.
Speaking of not having good games, Jaguars, things are not looking too good in Jacksonville. Colts.
No. Actually, they are looking good.
Really?
Yeah, because they got their quarterback in now, finally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so then you got to my question.
I don't know if that's going to lead to wins,
though. What do we think about Blake Bortles?
I think you got to pick him up if you're looking at it from your fantasy team. If you have room to stash a quarterback, he's one to stash. Because we saw 19 fantasy points in a comeback effort from a blowout effort from them. I don't want to say comeback because they weren't coming back. A blowout effort from them in the second half when they finally made the right decision and gave him an opportunity. Nice young receiving core. We don't really have a number one guy or a go-to guy, but Hearns made a nice play today.
Yeah.
Schwartz will start to help him out. You'll see the other two guys, the other two youngsters, and Robinson
and
Lee, when he gets back on the field. These two guys will start to make plays. And the running game's terrible. So he's going to have to they're going to have to rely on him to make plays. And we saw 19 fantasy points. I think he could do that on a consistent basis.
He did 19 fantasy points in a half.
That's what I'm saying.
That's really good. And it's his first NFL game, so I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm not ready to start him.
No,
I don't think he's a great bye week replacement. It's got to be a league where I've got the roster space and I want to carry him.
Yep.
Now, dynasty leagues are totally different, but he's already owned in all those leagues.
If you get past next week with you're a Peyton Manning owner, right? You get past next week with whoever quarterback you use. Drop that guy, pick up Bortles after week four.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if he's still available. Or if you want to carry, I don't know if you want to carry three quarterbacks. But, that's
not
the type,
one of them's
that's the type of scenario, though, you want to look at. Where if Bortles comes along, look, you could trade him.
Who? Peyton?
No, Bortles.
You can't trade Bortles. What are you going to get for him?
A few weeks down the road.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Down the road. It will be interesting, though, with the Colts. If T.Y. Hilton's out, does Akeem Nicks now become more viable? Because he scored a touchdown today, so we'll see.
All right, so not all hope is lost in Jacksonville. I guess that's the takeaway here.
Think long term.
Well, yeah,
Jaguars.
Think long term, but don't go away because we'll be right back. Go put on your pajamas, and we'll see you in a few. We'll be right back. The Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Sharone, joined by Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Just wait for that graphic to move. Now everybody can see us.
Yay!
All right. Talking, recapping the games. Here's one that will be fun to talk about. Patriots 16, Raiders 9. Let me recap Jamie from earlier. Patriots get an F. Ridley gets an F, Belichick gets an F, and Jamie gave himself an F for telling everybody to start Ridley.
Yes. Lest anyone think that we don't take our job seriously. When we see Stephen Ridley at the goal line and Tom Brady fakes it to him and throws, we're screaming, no, at the TV.
We were
screaming at our televisions just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Just when something doesn't go your way in fantasy, you scream at your TVs. We were doing the exact same things. We really wanted to see Ridley have another good game.
So even though the Pats won, F. Big fat F, right, Jamie?
An unbiased teacher.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean,
here's the worst part. And this is me trying to make you feel better. And I don't
know. No, you got the work.
Yeah. He had 19 carries, and he didn't fumble the ball. If I told you going into the game that
there
the Patriots were taking on the Raiders, Ridley would have 19 carries, and he wasn't going to fumble, you'd say he'd get what in the game? How many yards?
I would say he had 100 and a touchdown.
Right, exactly.
He'd but that did
deliver.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm cursed. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just the
it's okay. Start of the brighter days ahead. From the bottom, you can only go up.
Here's what's happening next week, and my boss I know is watching. Where is it? Over here? Okay. We are going to allow the public to select the start of the week for week 4. I will pose a list of suggestions, and they could pick. We will rank them 1 through 4.
They're going to think you're jinxing all this.
And they will have the opportunity. I will post the list, and everybody will say, don't pick this guy, don't pick that guy. He's on my team. Stay away.
Somehow
please shy away.
You're going to end up picking Stephen Hauschka.
We're going to go with Stephen Hauschka, who's on a bye. So
there
he will
go.
Not be the start of the week. Look.
All right, how about the Raiders?
There's nothing to speak of with the Raiders. You know, nobody starts these guys. James Jones was coming off a monster game, and he got revised. And so, you know, he's going to bounce back. He gets the Dolphins next week. The Dolphins are terrible defensively. It's going to be in London. But you're not starting James Jones yet. And Darren McFadden, I think, he played okay. He should have had a touchdown there.
The yards that would have tied the game.
Right. There was a phantom holding call, at least according to Pete Briscoe. So I think you look at McFadden, and you're going into the bye weeks now, and now Davis just ran all over this Dolphins defense. If he's still the starter, if Jones-Drew doesn't come back, you got to look at him as a flex.
Rod Streeter got hurt in the game. I think he's going to be out for a while. It might open the door for Andre Holmes, who really was a darling for fantasy owners late last season. And Derek Carr, for whatever you want to say about him, he isn't bad. He's still better than anything the Raiders had at quarterback last year. So maybe Andre Holmes from Derek Carr, maybe that they can get something going. And if you're in those deep, deep PPR leagues, Holmes is somebody to take a look at off waivers this week.
You guys are so nice. You're reaching, but it's so nice. All right. Saints.
Well said.
Saints, Vikings, Saints 20, Vikings 9. Saints actually looked a little bit out of sync. Didn't do a great job running the ball, but Minnesota's run defense is pretty good. That said, what kind of year can we expect from Cordarrelle Patterson to have without Adrian Peterson?
I'm concerned because the targets aren't there. That's my biggest problem with him, and it was my concern, you know, recommending him in the preseason was, you know, he's going to be a playmaker. And whatever the Vikings can do to get the ball in his hands, he's going to produce when that happens. But get the ball in his hands. Give him the opportunities. Take some chances with him. Hopefully this is what happens with Bridgewater, is that they, you know, not just focus on Jennings and Rudolph, and Rudolph had the groin injury. If he's out, you got to get Cordarrelle Patterson going. It's the only way he's going to grow as a receiver. You know, we've made this comparison with Josh Gordon. Gordon is a receiver. Patterson wasn't really that in college
at
Tennessee.
He's just an athlete.
He's just a freak of an athlete, and he's an amazing athlete, but he's not a receiver yet. He's one of these guys that's going to be a third-year breakout because it's going to take him 2 years to develop as a receiver.
So is that a guy you'd trade now? If you had Cordarrelle Patterson, you had these grand visions for him, are you letting him go?
If I get something of fair value or better value in return, absolutely.
Yeah,
if somebody's willing to buy high on him, sure.
Eddie Lacy.
I would do it in a second. In a second, I would trade
Cordarrelle. But Cordarrelle Patterson and a mediocre running back for Eddie Lacy and maybe a weak receiver?
Yeah.
I think that's the type of trade you can make.
Now, I think with Minnesota, again, this is one of those same things. You got to see how this team's now going to look because the quarterback is different.
Good question.
And so hopefully this leads to better things for them going forward, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater, who is somebody similar to Bortles you can speculate on. And look, they have a very good matchup next week. I know Atlanta looked amazing against Tampa Bay, but it's going to be in their building. And so hopefully they could take advantage of that defense.
Yeah.
And maybe we see a little bit more Jerick McKinnon, who didn't really get an opportunity today as well.
Yeah, it could be another RG3 Kirk Cousins situation.
Yes. And I know you said, just real quick, I know you said that they're struggling to run the ball, New Orleans. If I would have told you the same thing about Kyrie Robinson,
I would have carried a touchdown.
Right, monster game.
Maybe
so don't give up on him yet either.
All right. Giants 30, Texans 17. Adam Azer is a happy man yet again. He was not crying in the bathroom this time. Victor Cruz is back. Eli Manning looks like there's signs of life. Maybe
big
not
time.
Elite, but signs of life. So credit to you guys because last year you had him on the waiver wire look ahead as somebody to pick up. But they go into Thursday night game versus a battered Redskins defense, which could be another gift wrap.
It really could be. They could end up winning that game too. And now here they are at 2-2. Feeling good about themselves, and this offense is clicking. And we started to see that in week two against Arizona. There were some drops in the game, a couple of unfortunate passes from Eli Manning. There weren't any this week. He was pretty good. I think you look at Eli Manning going into the Thursday night game, typically quarterbacks don't play well. I think he might.
He's got bad history against the Redskins, too.
It's a bad history against the Redskins, and it's a Thursday night game. I'm not going to be too excited about him, but we know Peyton's on bye. Russell Wilson's on bye. Kaepernick is on bye.
No Cardinals quarterback.
Yeah, right. So we've got a problem at quarterback. So Eli might actually squeeze into the top.
I've actually done my quarterback rankings already for week
and where'd
four,
you put Eli?
13. So okay. He's not in my top 12, but he's there. And usually I'm a guy that in my first top 15, I usually give 18-plus points.
Right.
So when I project him, I'm going to probably give him 18-plus points. So I think he's okay. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I want to consider him a must-start guy, but you said it best. Bye week replacement, definitely. The thing that concerns me is they gave Rashad Jennings so much work. We talk about the Thursday night game and how these defensive players are so beat up and tired.
Yeah.
He could be worn down. I'm nervous for him.
You're going to start him anyway.
You're 100% starting him.
Right.
I'm nervous what's going to happen in the game and coming out of the game because we've seen it already. Arian Foster, a lot of work 2 weeks in a row for a guy that's got an injury history.
Right.
Rashad Jennings has an injury history. We saw it already. Foster had to miss the game. I hope this doesn't happen to Jennings. I really do because I hope to see this continue because he's been great. But keep Andre Williams now on your radar.
All right. Also, keep us on your radar because we're heading to commercial break, but we will be right back with more good stuff for you.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today postgame show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Schmerny here with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. You know these guys. All right, four more games to recap, and then we move on. Eagles 37, Redskins 34. This was like the surprise bonanza of the day.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. That was a good one, good one.
One out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, I mean, we said it earlier. Cousins looks kind of like a blessing in disguise in place of RG3 being hurt. It turned out well for the Redskins. Both these teams, though, have problems on defense, right?
Which is great for fantasy. Nobody's starting these two defenses. Everybody's starting everybody against them. San Francisco gets the Eagles next week. Ding.
Nice.
The Giants get the Redskins. Ding. I mean, this is going to be fun for everybody facing these two defenses. D'Angelo Hall now out for the season, so that's going to help anybody facing the Redskins defense. Not that they were a problem to begin with. It's just great to see these teams rise to the occasion and live up to the fantasy expectations. You mentioned Kirk Cousins, the darling now.
Yeah.
Look, we're entering the bye weeks. We're talking about quarterbacks that aren't living up to expectations. You'd much rather have Kirk Cousins than Tom Brady right now.
Absolutely.
He's got two better performances back-to-back weeks than Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford.
But how long is that going to last, though?
Well, I mean, look, teams are going to start to figure him out and figure out this offense when they go this way, as opposed to that way. But, look, right now he's playing well, and I think you buy into it.
And I think he's the guy to trade for if you've got a player that's on bye next week and you don't feel good about him going forward. I don't know who that would necessarily be.
Let me ask you this. Tom Brady at Kansas City?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, home to the Giants.
The only thing I don't like about Kirk Cousins is that it's a Thursday night game, and quarterbacks tend to struggle on Thursday night. And he just – you want to talk about getting overworked. He just had 48 passes.
Oh, I don't worry about that. The good thing was DeSean Jackson comes back from the injury, plays.
One big catch. One big catch.
All that matters. And remember when Pierre Garçon last week didn't have a catch?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he made up for it this week.
16 targets.
Big game. Niles Paul's still playing well. We'll see what happens to that if Jordan Reed comes back in. And then I know a lot of people are going to say, well – Darryl Young's got touchdowns in three straight games, and Alfred Morris didn't do anything this week. He's another guy. Put him in the Eddie Lacy boat. Trade for him, too.
Right.
The Cinderella slipper came off of Darren Sproles. Everyone's going to be disappointed, but he still averaged 10 yards per touch today.
Yeah. This was a tough game for McCoy because he got dinged up in it. We seemed to have a concussion.
Looked like he had a concussion.
Was able to come back in and at least give you something. You know, it wasn't clearly what you're hoping for, but still give you something.
Two fantasy points now.
And I would say think it's safe to say that Jeremy Maclin's the number one receiver for the Eagles, but Jordan Matthews, pick him up now.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks. Moving on. Cardinals 23, Niners 14. Big game for John Brown here.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think it's unfortunate because most people would rather see Larry Fitzgerald put up those type of numbers. But, you know, this is a guy that they've been hyping up for, you know, since the preseason. I know you were on it, you know,
when they started to show it. He was very impressive in camp.
Yep, and so here it is now. This is now 3 touchdowns on the season, 2 touchdowns today. They go into their bye, though, so we'll see how it's going to go, how many people are actually going
to
pick him up.
I'm looking forward to Andre Ellington relaxing during his bye week because he's had 3 games. They've been all right, but nothing outstanding. We're still waiting for that big 120-yard, 1-touchdown game from Ellington, and we haven't gotten it yet. So he's been a little bit of a disappointment. There's going to be some people who might be coming after Ellington in trade saying, ah, see, he's no good, now just trade him to me. Hold on to Andre Ellington.
Yeah, but
I think the best is yet.
Think about it. We've seen now San Diego's run defense is very good. That's who we had in week one. Short week, cross country, Giants, chalk it up to, you know, and he played well in that game.
Right.
And then he gets San Francisco, which is a good defense.
Yeah, I think going forward he'll be better.
All right, the Kansas City Chiefs came down here to visit Miami where it rained like crazy, but I think they just missed that. Last week, we told everyone to run out and snap up Nile Davis. Thoughts on his future after today?
Well, if Charles comes back, it's his job.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they're going to make this a tandem.
Dave's shaking his head over there.
You really think they're
going to? I think
based on what?
Have you seen what Nile Davis has done?
Have you seen Jamaal Charles?
Jamaal Charles right now is a bad wheel. So he's got to prove to the coaches that he can run.
Okay, both healthy. Who's the guy?
If both are healthy and Jamaal Charles is averaging 5.5 yards per carry, they're going to lean on Jamaal Charles. But they're going to use both of them.
Yeah, they'll give Davis a series or two.
I don't think that's
out of the question.
And if you want an example of that, look and see what Joe McKnight did today. Not that Joe McKnight's going to start getting attention here from the Kansas City offense.
Well, he's in the cluster.
Yeah, but now they can use Nile Davis in that role. He's not the same type of guy.
I think they wanted actually DeAnthony Thomas in that role.
Right, and he's not going to make it.
Well, he's banged up. Yeah, he's not healthy.
Right.
In some sense, Jamie, this helps you atone for your Ridley recommendation since last week you insisted that everybody pick up Nile Davis. I'm trying to help you out.
I appreciate that. the good thing was that Charles didn't play. And I think, you know, you now have seen Jordan Cameron struggling and dealing with the shoulder injury. Dennis Pitta is now out for the foreseeable future. Kyle Rudolph is hurt. And Travis Kelce is still available in a few leagues. Go get him because he's only going to get better.
All right. Last
Lamar Miller, by the way, 15 carries, 108 yards, really came through. Kansas City's run defense is terrible.
And he gets the Raiders, so he's going to get 19 carries for 59 yards and no touchdowns next week.
Hey, I thought we were trying to be nice to the Raiders. All right. We got to get to one more game, guys. Seahawks-Broncos.
What a game.
Nice, fun overtime game that we watched the end of right here and ended in a very happy Cerrone. Seahawks 26, Broncos 20 in overtime. Lots of things we could say about this game, but we got to wrap it up. So would you buy low on Monte Ball as he approaches his bye week?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Resounding agreement.
Yes. I'd buy low on him. I'd buy low on Demaryius Thomas, who's gone off to a bad start.
Emmanuel Sanders hasn't scored yet. He's getting great yardage.
You're not giving
him. Right. I don't think you're going to be able to get him on the cheap. Peyton Manning was worth, I want to say, about 15 or 16 fantasy points until the last 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
Then he went over 300 yards passing, got his second touchdown, and then a 2-point conversion right after that. That was a 9-point series swing for Peyton Manning over just 2 plays.
Right, and Wes Welker.
Which gave me a heart attack.
Right, Wes Welker played this game. He played well. Dave wins the bet, so I have to wear a wig next week because Crabtree was better. But Welker, look, if you're a Welker owner, you're encouraged by what you saw.
What do you think,
please,
Aaron? Is he a blonde or a brunette?
No, please.
Whatever you want me to wear.
British Parliament wigs, you know, like.
Oh, we could go
British
with that.
Court wigs.
It was supposed to be a girly wig.
That's kind of girly.
Well, I don't know if British Parliament was wearing them back in the day. I don't know how many women were wearing them.
Well,
but
no, I think they
I don't know. I could see you, you know, with little braids down.
Pippi Longstocking.
You
know,
whatever you want.
You've got the eyes.
I will absolutely wear it. I'll wear it the whole show next week if you want me. I saved the hair product. So
will you wear it after the show?
No.
I don't want to know about any of that. Yeah, thanks. Come over here, Jamie.
You're scaring me.
You all stay with us as well. We've got one more segment coming up, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Aaron Cerrone here with Jay Eisenberg and Dave Richard. And we are going to talk about working the waiver wire for week 4. Touched on this at the top of the show. We're going to go through it again. We got a nice graphic for everybody. Kirk Cousins, obviously the darling that we've been talking about, but owned in 73% of the leagues. And you look at somebody like Andrew Hawkins, owned in 54%, so you got a little more chance of getting him. Who do you guys like from this top 12 list right here?
I'm still believing in Andrew Hawkins, certainly in PPR leagues. He had another game, 7 catches and 87 yards. I almost think you can pencil him in 14, 15, 16 fantasy points per week. And if you can score a touchdown in a PPR, then you're in the money. That's it. Bishop Sankey's another one. The fact that his number is dropping a little bit gets me a little interested in looking for him off the waiver wire all week long, because I'm willing to wait on Bishop Sankey. I think he's eventually going to get that job in Tennessee. And when he gets it, I think he's got potential to be consistent.
Yeah.
For fantasy owners.
Don't rule out Hakeem Nicks, too, if T.Y. Hilton's injury is, you know, going to be something significant, because then his playing time will only increase. We look at the next list here, which is where more I think a lot of people are going to find some opportunities. As I mentioned, Travis Kelce, if you're looking for a tight end, he gets the Patriots next week, but I think you're going to see his targets start to increase. We saw the good game last week, around 8 fantasy points this week when he had the touchdown. But this is where a lot of people are going to be looking for, because Jordan Matthews is going to be a hot commodity. John Brown, who's not listed here, you'll see him also, somebody that a lot of fantasy owners are going to try and buy into, the quarterbacks and Bortles and Bridgewater. And then obviously Talaferro is going to be the running back that a lot of people look at as well. But I think it's all these young guys. It's rookie quarterbacks, Bortles, Bridgewater, rookie running back, Talaferro, rookie receivers, Matthews and Brown, and then Travis Kelce, the second-year tight end, which is really a rookie because he didn't play at all last year.
Correct me if I'm wrong, was Alfred Blue on either list?
No, and that's somebody also. He's 16% ownership. Didn't have a great game coming into this week.
But the fact that he's in that spot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yep, he should definitely be picked up as well. Very solid performance. Not a great performance, say, but solid performance stepping in for Arian Foster.
So plenty of guys to choose from, pick and choose from there that might be available in your leagues. All right, we got a new little segment today called Studs and Duds. So each one of us picked our stud of the week and a dud of the week. Let's take a look. Jamie's picks, he's got your fantasy stud. Sorry, Jamie's pick there. Lorenzo Taliaferro or Talaferro, however that's said.
Just call him Lorenzo.
Lorenzo. We're going with Lorenzo. Oh.
LT.
Dave's pick.
New LT.
Dave's pick is Macklin. My pick is obviously Luck. Any thoughts on these guys? I mean, obviously, all great.
I think just if there's any question about Jeremy Macklin at this point, you just haven't been paying attention. Just an absolute top 12 rock solid stud wide receiver in fantasy.
He should have another touchdown because he had one call back on a penalty that should have been a monster play if it wasn't for the other Kelce on a penalty.
Now, where there are studs, there are also duds, which Jamie will be the first to talk about when it comes to Mr. Stephen Ridley. You'll live it down, James. Don't worry.
I'll live it down all right.
Dave with Kendall Wright and me with Matty Stafford, who got fantasy owners a grand total of 3 points.
It's amazing that between Stafford and Rodgers, they weren't even within 10 points of Austin Davis.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Welcome to the wonderful world of fantasy football.
Yep.
Kendall Wright, by the way, great week one. But he hasn't been the same since because Jake Locker hasn't been the same since. Ken Wisnut says he's going to stick with Jake Locker. So I think you're going to see some games where Kendall Wright just keeps doing what he has been doing. I think you know what to do with him at this point.
I mean, obviously, these guys don't operate in a silo. So it depends on the health of the guys around you. It depends on how well your quarterback is throwing or not throwing. Or, you know, I mean, obviously, you can't.
It's true.
Can't win them all. Right, guys?
Right.
Just a note out there, friends. So don't kill our dear writers on the desk.
You can kill us if you want.
Well, please don't. I like you guys. All right. Monday preview. Can't forget Monday Night Football. We've got Bears at Jets tomorrow night. I will withhold my personal opinion, attempt to remain objective. So.
Because you're a Jets fan?
No, because I'm a disgruntled ex-Jets fan. But
oh. I'm a disgruntled ex-Bears fan. So.
Well, there you go. So we have something to commiserate on.
We really do.
Basically, you think the Jets will win, and I think the Bears will win.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Who's going to do it?
I'm going home.
Doesn't have an opinion. No.
I think you'll see, hopefully, Jay Cutler and that passing game continue to thrive because the Jets' secondary not very good. But you never know what Rex Ryan can try and concoct with a week to prepare for Jay Cutler and getting pressure on him and forcing him into some mistakes. I know Matt Forte probably going to struggle in this game, but nobody was benching Matt Forte unless you went with Ridley and Davis or maybe Joik Bell or somebody along those lines. But most people, based on his start percentage, kept Matt Forte in there, and hopefully his total yards will be okay.
And maybe he finds the end zone somehow against the Jets. It's going to be hard for him to do. Keep an eye on Geno Smith as a possible, and I know it's gross to say it, but as a possible bye week replacement in week 4 against Detroit, he's going to need to throw the football around a little bit in that game. And I know we just saw Aaron Rodgers get shut down by this great Detroit defense. I think there's a chance that Geno, if you're looking for 16 to 18 fantasy points in week 4, just to get you through the
you're
week.
Giving him that.
I think he might be
you
able
going
to
going Bortles or Geno?
I'll go Geno.
I'll go Bortles.
Okay. Yeah, I go.
I like them both.
I go Bridgewater over Geno too. The key for
I might go Bridgewater.
The key with Geno's got to be Eric Decker.
Yeah, you're
Decker
right.
plays.
But we're talking
night.
About now, week
no,
four.
No, I know, but still, if he doesn't play tomorrow night, he may have an injury that's lingering. You never know.
Yep, it's true.
Outright predictions. Who wins?
Bears.
Oh, the disgruntled Bears
well,
fan is back on the wagon.
It. Might as well say it.
Well, I'm with
Bears
also.
Team. They're a better team.
Better team. Yeah. Hopefully they can make a few plays on defense. They're starting to get banged up on defense.
Is Garzon Slauson playing? Or do you...
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's going to hurt them.
All right. Well, we are out of time, dear friends. Thank you for joining us, as always. Keep it here on CBSSports.com throughout the week. For more from these guys, don't give them too hard of a time. They generally are right.
We're hard on ourselves.
We're harder on ourselves than you are on us.
Right.
I'm Aaron Turner with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. No, you don't get an F this week, too.
Belichick, just give him the ball. It's the goal line. That's what he does.
See, they're
give
never
him the ball.
Let it down themselves.
I'm that hard.
Thanks for watching, Belichick. Everyone. We'll see you next week.